Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Erev Pasach, in a sense, we're in Chodesh Nisan, and Zman Chereseinu is shortly upon us, Ba'azor Hashem. So just a reminder, there's no shir next week, okay? We'll resume after tonight, Ba'azor Hashem. I say unless Mashiach comes, and I'm not sure exactly what will be. Hopefully we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael. We'll resume the Wednesday after Pasach, Ba'azor Hashem. So we're talking about the inclination of man. May the neshama have a continuous ali in the zchus of the Torah. We all share people. Email me with feedback from this year, and all different sorts of people in different countries and different states, what it means to them. And it's really a tremendous zchus for the family, and it must be a tremendous ali in neshama. How many people are touched by our learning, Baruch Hashem. So, Kein Yerbu. So, we're talking about the neshama of man and the yetzer of man, and is man evil from his youth, and what is our natural inclination, what is actually our real inclination, and what is external about us. Okay? So, remember we're talking about a child. So does a child desire to play and the father draws him to learn? Does he have an inclination to learn? Does he have a strong desire to learn or to play, etc.? Okay, we spoke last time about Shusar. Oh my gosh, I must tell you something. I was in Lower Merion, Philadelphia last week for a scholar in residence. Someone says my internet is unstable. I'm not getting messages, I'd say. Everyone else is saying no. I think it's from your end, because Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, I think it's okay from my end, which everyone else seems to be saying as well. So we were in Lower Merion last week in Philly. We had a very beautiful Shabbos, and I was speaking to a couple on Friday night after the Oneg. We were talking about various things, and after speaking for a little while, I said to the wife, and they know me because they listen to my shiurim online. So I said to her, what do you do? Remember we ended last time with the shoe store story? So she says, I try to be a good Eved Hashem. So I looked at her, I said, oh, is that because of Wednesday night shower issue? She had no idea what I was talking about. She said, no, I didn't listen to last year. So I could not believe it. This was two nights after we just went over that. And so there are real life people, when you ask them what they do, then it turns out she has what her profession is, and I'm not going to say, so it should really remain totally anonymous. But I just was very taken by when I asked her, what do you do? She said, I try and be a good Eved Hashem. Okay? So I'm going back to the Sefer, and what we're going to be doing tonight is looking at a piece by Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch onto this idea of Leitzer Yev Ha'adam Ramin U'Rav, the evil inclination in man's heart. The inclination in man's heart is evil from his youth. That is a pasuk in the Chumash from after the flood. So the question may be asked of each of us. Do we identify with the ratzon for Torah mitzvahs? What is our main desire? Is it to do, you know, to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs? Or do we identify with nonsense? I'm quoting from the Sefer. Or do we identify primarily with narishkeit? Except there's some external force that pushes us to choose good. In simple words, is the yetzer tov your eye? How do you identify yourself? What is your eye? The Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, but the Yetzer Hara tries to take you away from that goodness, but that is not your eye. Or are we essentially evil, and the Yetzer Tov tries to take us out of that state? So this is what we've been discussing over the past few weeks. This is the fundamental change that occurred to Adam HaRishon, the first man, through the chet, through the first sin. When the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim of Elazar states that the chet, the sin, placed the Yetzer Hara within man, the evil inclination within man, he means that before sin, before chet, man was in a perfectly good state. Adam was created by Hashem. There was no sin. So of course Adam was in a perfectly good state. The Yetzer Hara, in the form of Nachash, the serpent, and try to take him out of it and place him into an evil state. Okay? So in other words, before sin, man was totally good, totally pure, because he was created directly from God himself without any intermediary, without a father or mother, without any narish kind of society, and he was put in totally good into this world. But then the Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, in the form of the serpent, the Nachash, came along, tried to take him out of that good state, and Nachash moved into man after the chet. After the sin, the Torah tells us the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. We're going to look at that pasuk in a minute. It's a pasuk from Parashas of Bereishis. This means the soul has now been placed in a situation in which good and evil are intermingled. Good and evil, tov and ra, are intermingled. and evil dominates over the good. That's what the author says. Yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav means that evil and good are mixed together, with evil having the upper hand. The job of the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, Kein Yubu means there should be many more. There should be many more, Nancy. The job of the Yetzer Tov, by guiding a person to imbibe the Torah's wisdom, the Yetzer Tov guides us to imbibe the Torah's wisdom and fulfill the commandments, and therefore it wants to accrue merit for the soul, so we can acquire a place in the world that is all good. So I just must tell you something. After last week's shiur, we spoke about kofin oso acha omeratza ani, you force a person until they say, I want. Why? To give tzedakah, to give a gap, because really the inclination wants to do the ratzon Hashem, the inclination wants to do good. So you're really forcing them by external force to do what's good. We spoke about this idea of, are we really good or are we really bad? What is our real inclination? And we're all still in the chapter talking about Ahavas Hashem. So I have to tell you something. Last night when I came home late Wednesday night, my son came home from yeshiva. He gets picked up at 10 o'clock, Baruch Hashem. So he says, Mommy, so I'm upset I didn't write it down last Wednesday. And he's such a gittin neshama. He was listening when I came down this morning very early into the kitchen. My son was sitting at the table listening to the recording of the shir to try and remember what he told me last week. So he said, Rav Kielsen spoke about in Darche, in the Vad, Rav Kielsen spoke about mamish what we were talking about in shir. He came Wednesday and he told me this is Rav Kielsen because he'll tell me what the Vad's about. Rav Kielsen spoke about, but I don't remember the exact words, but the idea was, is there an impediment to Avodas Hashem? Are we naturally good? Are we naturally bad? What is our inclination? I said, I don't believe this. I said, Shmuel, my mom spoke about this tonight in Shir. So I don't remember the exact words. And literally, when I came to the kitchen this morning at 6:45, he was already listening to the VOD on his recorder, trying to remember. He keeps saying, Mommy, I don't remember which part of the Shir I told you. So I retold it to him. So he said, so what's the problem? That's what I told you. So this is what Rav Kielsen spoke about, and I was paraphrasing, but the end I do remember because it made such an impression on me. Rav Kielsen said that what is the way to overcome this inclination of evil? It is to only, he said, he told the boys, that in 10 years and over a decade, he has not used the word love, L-O-V-E, except for three things. Love vis-a-vis the Torah, love, Torah mitzvos, love vis-a-vis another Jew, and love vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Torah Mitzvos, and Ahavas Yisrael. Those are the only times he uses the word love. He said in over 10 years he has not used the word love for anything else. And this is how you overcome the impediment to the Yetzer Hara, which tries to persuade us from doing Avodas Hashem, which is mamash what we're talking about. And also the answer, he says, is Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Torah, and Ahavas Yisrael. And if you remember, the last chapter was called Removing Obstacles to Conditional Love. So a person has to be careful that if we really understand what love is, I gave a whole two-part series at the Young Israel of Women on this in the spring, in the fall, whatever. Lamaisa, that a person has to know what Ahavas Hashem is, and then you don't say that. So it's funny because when we were driving home from Philadelphia, Motzei Shabbos, we were in the car, and I was talking to my husband about my Shabbos earrings, and I said, I really love. I said, wait, I have to rephrase that. I said, I really enjoy these earrings. They're very beautiful. Thank you. They're not new. I was just reiterating. I said, thank you. But I stopped because I really started by saying, I love. What I was going to say is, I love these earrings. And I stop because of what Shmuel reiterated, even though I know it's not kedai to use that word, it's not appropriate. So Rav Kielsen said that the way to remove, again, I wasn't in the VOD, if I'm misquoting, the fault is my own, not Shmuel's, and certainly not Rav Kielsen's. But the way to remove the impediment of the Yetzer Hara, which wants to detract us from the good path, is to excel in Ahavas Hashem, love of God, Ahavas Torah, the love of Torah mitzvahs, and Ahavas Yisrael. And if we excel in these three things and reserve our love for these three things, and we can successfully overcome the impediment of the Yetzer Hara. Then that part's correct. The beginning part, I don't exactly remember, but I just thought it was incredible that when I came on Wednesday night, Shmuel starts telling me what the vow was about. It was mamish, what we were talking about in Shir. And it's so relevant because we're trying to talk about removing obstacles to Ahavas Hashem. So if you want to remove obstacles to love of God, reserve your love for God. Reserve your love for his people. Reserve your love for his Torah, not for your earrings or the steak. That's like our Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky Zatzal says, you don't say, I love fish. You love yourself and you love what fish does for you. Let's say a person loves fish or sushi or steak or whatever, you know, substitute. Once say I love fish, say I love myself, so I love what the fish does for me. Okay, those are two things I want to tell you. But the woman in Laura Marion, after the Oneg, who I said, what do you do? She said, I try and be a good Avodas Hashem. I said, did you listen to my Wednesday night show? She said, no. I said, wow. And Rabbi Kiel said, okay, let's go. Oh, so the Mechaber has just told us, the author has just told us that after the chait, after sin, good and evil are intermingled and evil has the upper hand. He is basing that on the Pasuk from Sefer Bereishis, Perachas, Pasuk Chof Aleph. I'm going to put it on my screen just because it's easier for me to read it like this. I'm going to read a couple of seconds. For the people on Zoom, could you see? Okay. Perachas is after the flood. The beginning of Perachas, Vayishoku Amayim, the water dies down. You know what I thought was so interesting? This is really not related to tonight's share. Vayishoku Hamayim, the last words of Perachas Pasuk Av, the water subsided. So if you look at Rashi in the Chumash, Rashi says, Vayishoku subsided like, does anyone know? V'chamas HaMelech Shachacha. He quotes from Megillas Esther, the wrath of the king subsided. Rashi makes a connection between the waters of Noach subsiding and the wrath of Achashverosh subsiding. Good. So I was reading a sefer, I'm still reading it, even though Purim's over slowly, amongst others, called Let My Nation Live by Rabbi Deutsch. And he writes, when Haman prepared the gallows for Mordechai, he prepared, where did the tree come from? The central beam of his home. And where did that come from? Noach's teva. The central beam of Haman's house was from Noach's teva. So then I thought to myself, oh, now I understand this Rashi. It's not Stam that Zucht Rashi Vayishoku Hamayim, the waters of Noach subsided. And of all the places in the 24 books of Tanakh, where does Rashi choose to quote from? Megillas Esther, V'chamas HaMelech Shachacha, the king's wrath subsided. Rashi is giving you a remez, an allusion to the fact that there's a deep connection between the story of Noach and the story of Haman HaRasha. Haman HaRasha built his home with a beam from Noach's teva. That's totally an aside. I haven't told that over anywhere. But since I'm going to Perachas of Bereishis, and it's stuck in my head since I read it, I thought it was amazing. Okay, fine. So the end of Perachas. Okay, so Noach comes out. Okay, God says to Noach, Tzei min hateva, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and the wives of your sons with you and all the animals. And Noach comes out of the ark with his sons and his wife and his daughters-in-law with him and all the animals. What does he do before the vineyard? Okay, so we always say Noach built a vineyard first and he got drunk. But actually, even Noach mizbech l'Hashem, Noach built an altar for God. He takes from all the pure animals and from all the pure birds and he brings olos. He offers sacrifices on the altar. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Parachas Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 8, verse 21 in Bereishis. Vayarach Hashem es reich hanichoach. God smelled the pleasing fragrance. Vayomer Hashem el libo. God said to his heart, so to speak, Lo osif lekalel od es ha'adam. As ha'adama bavur ha'adam, I'll not continue anymore to curse the earth because of man. Remember, by the sin, the earth was cursed because of man's sin. Ki yet, here are the key words. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu urav. The inclination of the heart of man is ra, evil, minu urav, from his youth. Ah, so that could be proof, according to some opinions, that that means that man's inclination is naturally good or naturally bad.
Bad.
And we're really, the good is working to pull us out of the bad. But this pasuk could be proof that after sin, man is now bad. Even though in our shir, we have not been taking that approach. We're taking the approach that man is really good. Kofin oso adcha omer jerot se'ani. And the yetzer hara that tries to pull us away. We're going to look at a beautiful piece by Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch. Lo osif od lahakos es kol chai kasher sisi. So God says, I'm not going to continue anymore to smote down every living life form like I have done. Okay? Let's see what the great commentator, Torah thinker, Talmud Chacham, and Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch has to say. Okay, you could see here. This is a commentary to Perachas, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Yeter Lev Ha'adam, Ra Min Urav. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch focuses very much on Shorashim, the root words in Lashon HaKodesh. And if you want to properly learn what the language of Chumash is telling us, you must identify a Shoresh and what a word actually means. Otherwise, you will not have the proper definition. So now we have to determine what exactly does it mean. Does it taka mean that man is really evil from his youth? Before you even go into Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, think of a baby, a just born baby, a 6-month-old baby, an 8-month-old baby, a 1-year-old baby. Is the Yetzer of man bad from his youth? Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch is going to prove from the Lashon of Chumash that it is not so. Okay, so let's look at Rav Hirsch. Okay, it's a much longer piece onto this pasuk, but I went through it and chose what I think is the relevant part for our shir. Excuse me. We have already demonstrated the meaning of the form Yetzer. Yod Sadi Reish, inclination. It is not an active form, but a passive form. Your Yetzer is passive. Interesting. I always think my Yetzer is pretty active, but okay. It says your Yetzer is passive. It denotes not that which does the forming, but that which has been formed. Your Yetzer does not form you. You form it. Your Yetzer does not form you. It denotes not that which does the forming, but that which has been formed. You are forming your Yetzer, not vice versa. The Yetzer is the design of the human mind. So what does that mean? Who forms what? The Yetzer forms me, or I form the Yetzer? I form the Yetzer. It's the design of the human mind. It is the ideal to which your mind aspires. Remember, Yetzer itself is neutral. You can make it into a Yetzer Tov, or you can make it, which is the good inclination, or you can make it into the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil inclination. But it is neutral. It does not do the forming. It is that which has been formed. It is the design of the human mind. So if my mind goes after Tova, mitzvos, I only love Hashem and Torah, I love Klal Yisrael, I love doing mitzvos, then I form a Yetzer Tov. If I love Hollywood, and I love pork sandwiches, and I love Lashon Hara, then I form a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer itself does not form me. It is the design of the human mind. I form the Yetzer. Now, what is the meaning of Mini'u Rav? Could it mean that really man is evil? My husband and I took my 3-year-old nephew out for Berylicious today, and I had really back-to-back shiurim all day. My husband said, I'm taking him, please come. So I went for a half hour, and they went for ice cream after he finished nursery school. Kenainahar, bli ainahar. He is such a sweet little boy. What could the Torah possibly mean? Ki yetzer lev adam ra minu rav. What does that mean? What is the meaning? My husband took a bite. He says, you're eating my ice cream, Uncle Moshe. What is it? Yetzer lev adam ra minu rav. Maybe we're not understanding exactly what the Torah is telling us. Maybe we need to identify what a na'ar is. In fact, Hashem says, na'ar Yisrael v'o'avo. Hashem calls Klal Yisrael na'ar, and I love him. What is the meaning of minu rav, from his youth? Ni'urim, youth. The original sense of na'ar is to shake off or cast off oneself. Shake off, shake off, shake off. Remember, you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Yeah, there was shaking. That was something in that song. Yeah, the guy says yes. What's the beginning of it?
You shake it all about.
Right. Okay, shake it all around. So the original sense. What?
You're putting different parts of your body in.
Yeah, you put your right hand there. Oh, very good. Right hand down. So you put it together, the two of you. Okay? So the original sense of na'ar is to shake off or cast off. And I'm telling you, I very much focus on Shorashim in my own limudim, and I credit it in a huge part to Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, to studying his texts and works, because he focuses on Shorashim. If you don't focus on a Shorash and the meaning of the root word, you don't really know what the Chumash is telling you. The original sense of na'ar is to shake off or cast off. That's in connection with, he gives a proof from Shoftim and a proof from Yeshayahu. By extension, na'arus is the off-combings of flax. The psoles, the off-combings of flax, is called na'arus, which is the same shoresh. So na'ar is to shake off or cast off. Now that makes a lot of sense. Before I go further, mommy says it's bedtime, and the child says, 10 more minutes. No, it's not. Half an hour. Mommy says, no more ice cream. And the child says, or that's enough sprinkles. And the child says, I want more sprinkles. No more lollies. I want another lolly. What is the child trying to do?
Get more.
What?
Shake off the mother's restriction.
Shake off the restriction that has been placed upon them. By extension, na'arus is the off-combings of flax. This is also the meaning of ni'urim. Young people want to develop out of themselves. Neither good nor bad impressions are permanently absorbed by them. Neutrality. They're absorbing everything from the world, and they're absorbing some things and shaking off other things. Neither good, tov, nor bad, ra, impressions are permanently absorbed by someone in his youth. A youth's nature is still in its original state. No one could look at an innocent child, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, and say that you understand exactly what this pasuk means. Yetzer lev ha'adam ra menu rav. It is, listen to the next line. A youth's nature is still in its original state. It is not yet cloaked in hypocrisy. A youth's nature is in its original, that means pure state, pristine state. Tinokos shel beis rabbanan, bring us the biggest schuyos with their Torah. It is not yet cloaked in hypocrisy. It still shakes off, na'ar, both the good and the bad impressions. So it checks out this, it checks out that, it shakes off this, it shakes off that. Youth are, quote, neither tzaddikim nor rasha'im. What are they? Youth.
Beinonim.
Okay. They're neutral, though. Beinonim is no, between tzaddik and rasha. They're just neutral. Youth are neither tzaddikim, righteous, nor rasha'im, wicked people. Woe unto he who thinks the average child has a wicked nature.
Right.
Woe. Unfortunately, it happens. Maybe it's never happened to you, or you have no personal experience with it. And for the vast majority, our Rebbeim Amoras are tremendously moser nefesh to go into the classroom and teach our children. But there have been cases, maybe you're ashreichem not familiar, whether it's your own children or to people who have told you such stories, where unfortunately, it's not the case. What?
A child could be destroyed.
Correct.
By a parent.
A child can be destroyed.
By a parent also.
By a parent or a teacher. Woe unto he who thinks that the average child has a wicked nature. Direct quote, quote, end quote. New quote. Whoever truly observes children will affirm that no, it is not true that youth are corrupt. It cannot be that Yetzer Lev HaAdam is Ra Minu Urav. Man does not aspire to evil from his youth. So my daughter happened to call me while we were in the ice cream store. She doesn't have a smartphone, not even any texting, only phone calls. So she called me. It was about 2:45 our time, so 9:45. And so I said to my nephew, do you want to talk to Tamar? He says, hi, Tamar. And he hasn't seen her since before the school year, the seminary began. And his eyes lit up. But then he wasn't talking. He was just listening. I said, you have to talk. She can't hear you. Who could say, anyone who works with children, anyone who sees children, anyone who teaches young children, I know on this there's at least one teacher on this in this Zoom room who is a teacher of kindergarten, preschoolers. You cannot say, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, that youth are corrupt. It cannot possibly be. Yetzer Lev Hadam is Ra Minu Rav. Man, quote, does not aspire to evil from his youth. What?
Innocent.
Right. And that's why he says they're not Rashaim or Tzaddikim. They see some bad, they see some good, they absorb and they shake off. They're testing the world, so to speak. They don't come out Rashaim. Look at a new baby. They're not a Rasha. So what does the pasuk mean? They can't be Rashaim. Woe unto he who thinks the average child is a wicked nature. Go tell that to Mechanchim, and the vast majority are wonderful, and they have tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, but some should not be in the classroom. Maybe Ashreichem, you never had such experience with them. A child does not have a wicked nature. It is not true that they are corrupt. Normally, this is Gevaldic piece that I never learned before I prepared tonight's share. Normally, the number of adults aspiring to evil is greater than that of young people. Adults create a Putin. Adulthood creates Yasser Arafat. Adulthood creates thieves. Adulthood creates immoral people. Ram and Urav, children are not these tyrants, Yimachshvam. Children are not these despots. Children are not these murderers. True, the young will do things that are evil. They have not yet learned to subordinate themselves to all mitzvahs. So sometimes you think, if the kid, I mean, it's not relevant to me right now, but if you think that the kid, you can't take it anymore, and they're having a 1 hour tantrum, or you're in public, or they won't go to sleep, or the child's not cooperating in the classroom, so you're at your wit's end, so you really think to yourself, oh, Yetzer Lev HaAdam, Ram and Urav. Sometimes they act out. But acting out is different than saying the Yetzer is evil from the youth. It's not the same thing. They have not yet learned self-control. They have not yet learned to subordinate themselves to all mitzvos, the yoke of the commandments. They need to learn self-control as they mature. They need to learn obedience to duty as they mature. It appears burdensome to them. So in their quest for independence, they seek to shake off the burden. That's what na'ar means. The root na'ar, and he brings a proof from Shoftim, if you want to look it up, Tes Zayin Pasach Chav, and a proof from Yeshayahu, Lamed Gimel Tes Vav, as well, na'arus is the offcomings of flax. Nun ayin resh means to shake off. A child is not evil, and woe to the parent or educator or rav or principal who thinks that the average child has a wicked nature. They don't aspire to evil from their youth, but what do? They don't have self-control, they don't have obedience, they have not yet learned social norms, social etiquette, and obedience to Torah. And so in their quest for independence, they seek to shake off the burden. This independence of will is truly difficult to overcome. By the way, it's difficult when you're an adult to overcome independence of will. Oh, now it just said my internet connection is unstable. Al tiftach pelasatan. Am I okay? Kacha kacha, Esti? Okay, I don't know. I'm always teaching Shari and we don't have problems with the internet here. I have no idea. Let's say tefillah to Hashem. It shows me I have 4 full bars. 3. Okay, I'm not home. There's nothing I could do except we could ask Hashem that Bezal Hashem it should continue to be good for the next 20 minutes. There's nothing I could do. It's mostly good. Okay, I'm going to keep going because that's what we're going to do. This independence of will is truly difficult to overcome. It's difficult for adults also to overcome independence of will. Intellectual immaturity, because children are intellectually immature, give them the mark of obstinacy. It means stubbornness. I looked it up. Like someone's obstinate. Right? So because they are a few seconds here and there. So basically everyone's saying it's good. Bli ayin hara baruch Hashem. Okay. Because they are intellectually immature, which is by no fault of their own, because that's how Hashem made them, it gives them the mark of stubbornness. So you say go to bed and the child says no. It's not because they're evil. It's not because they're Vladimir Putin who's destroying Ukraine and its people. It's because they're a child. Because they're shaking off. Because they're independent. So they have the mark of stubbornness. However, it is precisely in this independence of will that the moral personality of the future adult will be rooted. An adult has a moral personality. What is a moral personality? You have a right to choose, good or bad. Hashem did not make us robots. Hashem did not make us machines. Man has bechira chafshis. Moshe Rabbeinu says that. Devar and perek lamed. Ubacharta b'chaim l'man tichya. You have to choose. I place before you today 2 paths. As a chaim, as a mavis, as a tov, as a ra. Ubacharta b'chaim l'man tichya. I'm giving you a choice. 2 paths. Good and bad. Bracha and klala. Tov and ra. Moshe Rabbeinu says it. As the child matures into an adult, their moral personality, which can choose good or bad, is rooted in that struggle for independence. God chose Israel not because they are amenable, which means easily persuaded, but because we are stiff-necked people. In fact, in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, which happens in Kitisa, Perek Lamed Beis, Hashem says, you are an Am Kshei Oref. We are stiff-necked people. Interestingly, Rav Shamsher Falher says, God chose us because we are stiff-necked people. Rav Salvechik has a piece on this as well. That Rav Salvechik says that it's a midah to be stiff-necked. Why? Because sometimes we have trouble following God, but once we make a commitment to follow him, we are stiff-necked. We will never deviate. We are strong in our commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, come what may. Rav Hirsch says, and of course he preceded Rav Salvechik, God chose Israel not because they are amenable, not because we are easily persuaded, oh, obstinacy. Thank you, Nancy. Obstinacy. Not because we are amenable, which I'm probably also maybe saying wrong, which means easily persuaded, but because they are stiff-necked people. He chose us because we're stiff-necked. He knew they would ultimately overcome their obstinacy and choose the right path. Remember I quoted before, Ki na Yisrael v'ovo, the Navi says, Israel is a nar. And I love him. So what does it mean now? Not that Israel's a child. We're not a child. We've been around since the time of Avraham Avinu. He was born in 1948 to Maaseh Bereishis. We're now in 5782. That was a long time ago. Knesset Israel's been here for a long time. What do you mean, Na'ar Yisrael v'ovo? Israel's a child. We're not a child. but through the exercise of shaking off that which is negative, we choose the right path, we become morally independent, and in our stiff-neckedness, we stay by God. Therefore, Hashem knew ultimately we would overcome this stubbornness, this obstinacy. We would choose the right path, and we would employ this obstinacy. We use this stubbornness, and we use this independence for good purposes. A child has a stubbornness to them. They know what they want. They want to feed themselves, they want to dress themselves, they want to put on their own shoes, even though the shoes often go on the wrong feet, they don't want to be told what to do. It's not because they're evil, it's because they have a tenacity, a spirit, a chiyus to them. And God says that that's what Israel is, and that's why he chose us, because he knows we will employ this stubbornness and this independence for good purposes. So too, God, and by the way, this pasuk, Ki Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Minu Rav, which we saw as right after Noach brings the korbanos, is way before a Jew is ever born or created. Noach is 10 generations before Avram Avinu. So here we're talking about humankind. So too, God has implanted in every human being the aspiration for independence. Everybody wants to be independent. So that eventually he will become persistent and steadfast in doing good. We all want independence, and God hopes we will make the right choice, and we will become persistent and steadfast in doing good. That's what Soloveitchik says. It means we're am k'shei oref, am k'shei oref. We might make mistakes. It might take us some time to commit ourselves to God, but once we commit, we are steadfast in our commitment. We will not waver. This independence expresses itself as ne'urim. The first place you see this independence is in ne'urim. The young person attempts to throw off all restraints. See how everything is in Torah? You see how the psychology is in Torah? You see how understanding the human psyche of children is in Torah? You see how education is in Torah? Hafoch ba va, foch ba dekula ba. Every single thing is in Torah. The young person attempts to throw off all restraints. What the Na'ar wants to do is shake off and cast off the burden. But once he realizes that the ultimate objective of the law, capital L, and Rav Hirsch says law, capital L, he's referring to Torah mitzvos. Once he realizes, meaning the Na'ar, that the ultimate objective of law is freedom, not restriction. Chag HaPasach is upon us. That is the ultimate objective of Chag HaPasach, freedom. Well, Seisi, I will take you out. Vitzalti, I will save you. Vega'alti, I will redeem you. Velakachti ascham li la'am, I will take you to me as a nation. Vitzi lechem elokim. The ultimate objective of Yitziat Mitzrayim, leaving the shackles of the boundaries of Egypt, is freedom. And once that person realizes the objective of the law is freedom, not restriction. We left Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is mitzarim, narrow places. We left the restriction of Egypt and we marched into freedom. Then he is filled with youthful enthusiasm. So Na'ar is not youth. Yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu rav. Oh, he's gonna do it in the next paragraph. He is filled with youthful enthusiasm and he resolves to devote himself to every noble ideal. When we reach moral maturity and we understand that adherence to the law is freedom, we make the right moral choice. We are stiff-necked and stubborn like a child in our devotion to God. Now, Rav Hirsch says, it is the adults, not the youth, are the ones who are clever and wise in their own sight. Clever and wise in their own sight. They see each adult sees himself. What is the causes of lashon of tzara'as? The Gemara says in Erechin, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, seven causes. One is Gasus HaRuach, haughty spirit, speaks Parsha is Mitzorah, Asukos Tazria. Another one is Gasus HaRuach. One is Tsarus Ayin, looking at other people with a stingy eye, haughty spirit, stingy eye, Lashon Hara, slanderous speech about other people. Why in this week's Parsha does he need to bring cedar wood, Eitz Arez, as part of the purification? He thought he was so tall, like a cedar tree. Rashi says, calm down, lower yourself from your gasus haruach. Why does he need to bring a hyssop, a low, low bush? He should lower himself from his gaiva, says Rashi, like a hyssop. It is not children who are evil, says Rav Hirsch. It is adults who are clever and wise in their own sight. I am the best thing that ever happened to the world. It is adults who are addicted to base desire and greed. It is adults who are addicted to base desire. We tell children, why aren't you sharing? That's not nice. It's not children. It's adults who are destroying the world, not children. They're addicted to base desire, taiva, not children. Children want to experiment. They're not addicted to base desire. They're not addicted to greed. It is adults, not children, who mock at lofty aspirations and ideals. What is the first pasuk of Tehillim? Ashrei isha shelo lach ba'atzas rishaim uvederech hataim lo amad uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav. Fortunate is the man who does not walk with the wicked. Who does not go with the advice of the wicked, who does not walk with the sinners, and who does not sit with the scoffers. It's not talking about kindergarten kids. And it's not talking about a three-year-old in the ice cream shop. On the contrary, au contraire, it is not youth, but rather adults who are clever and wise in their own sight. It's adults who are full of gasus haruach and sarus ayin and lashon hara. It is adults who are addicted to base desire and greed. It is adults who mock at lofty aspirations. And it does, you think you're so religious? Don't be so religious. You think you never spoke lashon hara? Give me a break. Don't tell me not to talk about her. It's they who mock at lofty aspirations and ideals. David HaMelech warns us, don't sit with the sinners, but don't walk with the sinners. Don't take advice from the wicked. But the worst is to sit with the scoffers. They dismiss youthful ideals as youthful dreams. You will never accomplish what you set out to accomplish. It's just a youthful dream. Give it up. Grow up. Once a person becomes an adult, he is no longer a na'ar. He learns to accommodate and to conform, but he succumbs to the demands of desire and selfishness. An adult is no longer a na'ar, so he stops shaking off. So you learn to accommodate other people. You learn to accommodate God. You learn to accommodate mitzvahs and halacha in your life. You learn to conform. Man is a real conformist. Nobody wants to stand out. Nobody. But you succumb to the demands of desire and selfishness. Not a child, an adult. Normally, the time when Ra truly prevails is after the age of Ni'urim. The time when Ra, I just saw something interesting, Na'ar, the last two letters are Ra backwards. That can't be a mistake. The last sentence I just read of Rav Hirsch is, normally the time when Ra truly prevails is after the age of Ne'urim. So stop blaming the youth and using that pasuk as a proof that we're evil from our youth. It can't be. Did you ever talk to a three-year-old? Did you ever take them for ice cream? Which color do you want? I want the white. I want the blue sprinkles. Do you want more? Uncle Moshe, you're taking my ice cream. Hi, Tamar. They're not evil. Woe to the adult who thinks they're evil. It can't be. They didn't come here bad. Therefore, normally, this is the last sentence I read, and then I'm going to tell you what I thought of. The time when Ra, Resh Ayin, truly prevails is after the age of Ne'urim. When does Ra prevail? Not when you're Na'ar, not in your Ne'urim. When you're mature, in your old age, all of a sudden you have to deal with Ra. Here's what I thought of. This is really cool. Na'ar is Nun, Ayin, Resh. But first, it's just proved to us that Ra does not appear in the age of Ne'urim, but rather in the age of adulthood. And when you look at the world stage today, and actually the world stage throughout history, that is true. And Frank Rochi believes that all men are inherently good. Well, that didn't go over so well because they're not. Why? Because they're not children anymore. This is Gevaldik. Na'ar is Nun, Ayin, Resh. Nun is a difficult letter. It stands for Nafla. Nafila, falling. Nafla lo tosiv kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen. She will not get up anymore. The virgin daughter of Israel, because Nun represents Nafila, we don't say it in Ashrei. Ashrei is capital Kuf Mem He of Tehillim. Tila de David actually is more appropriate. The first two verses come from somewhere else. We just call it Ashrei. Tila de David arimcha b'chol yam gadol Hashem. There's no Nun in Ashrei. Why is there no Nun in Ashrei? So the Gemara Taka asked that question. Why is there no Nun in Ashrei? So there's no Nun in Ashrei because Nun represents falling, Nefila. Nafna lo tosiv kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen. She will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. We don't want to reference Asher is all a praise to God from A to Z. We don't want to reference to the fact that Klal Yisrael is falling. So Nun represents Nefilah. So Na'ar is Nun, then Ayin Resh. Nun, and then the letters that spell Ra. When a person has his Nefilah, that's when the Ra erupts within him. Ironically, as we grow older, we are more susceptible to Nefilah. A youth is not susceptible to Nefilah because they are, like you used the word before, innocent. We have zchuyos from the Tino Koshal Beis Rabbanan. Mordechai went out and he roused the children to cry into Davin Tashem. Utsu Eitzu Visufar Dabra Dabra Velo Yakum Ki Manukel. They were learning when he came out. He said, what psukim did you learn today in yeshiva? Nun represents Nefilah, and then Ayin Resh is Ra. When does bad emerge or erupt in a person? When they begin to fall. When does a person begin to fall? Not in what we call youth, because youth are not bad. As they grow older. And then we become clever and wise in their own sight. We're full of gasus aruach, gaiva, yashbil atzman begava, so says Rashi. We're full of tzarus ayin, anash and har. We're addicted to base desire. We're addicted to greed. We mock those with lofty aspirations. We mock those with ideals. We dismiss them as just youthful dreams. A person becomes an adult and he's no longer a nar. He accommodates, he conforms to society, and he succumbs to the demands of desire and selfishness. Ra prevails, says Rav Hirsch, specifically after the period of Ne'urim, not during Ne'urim. And then Michal Horowitz noticed that Nar is a Nun, Ayin Resh. Nun is Nefila. I brought you the proof from the Gemara. Ayin Resh spells Ra, because when does bad take over? Not when you're born. There's no bad when you're born. You're an innocent child. You're a pure neshama. When you grow and you have the process of Nefila, Rachmana Litzlan, when you stop shaking off and you absorb the bad, then the bad appears and erupts. Normally, the time when Ra truly prevails is after the age of Ne'urim. And you see from this piece, besides how brilliant and beautiful it is, how studying a Shoresh really teaches you a lesson and a message in the Torah. You must know what the Shoresh means, what the root word is, in order to understand the message of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In an era in which even young consciously aspire to evil, if there is such an era, in which even the young consciously aspire to evil, as Yetzer Libam, if it should ever happen that youth actually consciously, not because they're trying it, not because they're testing their limits, not because they're striving to prove their independence, they consciously aspire to evil. That is their Yetzer Libam. That is their heart's ideal. It would demand a second Mabul. Remember, when does Pasuk happen? Right after the Vayishochu Amayim. Remember, I told you, V'chamas al-Malach Shachacha, and I finally understand why Rashi quotes from Megillas Esther. So we're talking about the time period of after the Mabel. But what does Hashem say after the Mabel? In Perek Tes, he shows the Kashrus. And what does he say? There will never be another Mabel to destroy all flesh, which means that there can never be a time when man is entirely evil. What did you say? There can be a time when man is so bad, but not from their youth. Because if the young would consciously aspire to evil as a Yetzer Libam, as their heart's ideal, it would demand a second Mabul. Quote, but such a state of affairs would be entirely unnatural. Why is it unnatural? Because anyone who works with young children knows they aggravate us sometimes. They try our patience sometimes. We don't understand them sometimes. Ha ha, sometimes you want to shake them. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Not literally. Chas v'shalom. Something called shaken baby syndrome of abusive childcare providers. Well, they do. Proverbially, you want to say, stop crying. Don't you see? Just got to bed. I'm exhausted. No more lollies. You want to shake them. Maybe that's another reason why they're called nar. Joke. But if it would be that the young would consciously aspire to evil as their heart's idea, there would have to be a second Mabul. But there's never going to be a second Mabul. So what does that mean about the heart of man? It is not evil from youth. Such a state of affairs would be entirely unnatural. 1 second, please. Okay. The last thing our author quoted is that after the sin, even the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The soul has been placed in a situation which evil and good are intermingled. But I don't think that means within a person. I think that means in the world. Good and evil are intermingled in our world. Good and evil fight a battle in our world. Based on what we spoke about last time and the time before, Elokai Neshama Shana Satabi, the heart, the neshama is 1,000% pure. It is always pure. And tonight, based on the piece by Rav Shur Hirsch, we learn that you come with a Yetzer that is neutral, not evil. I think that we have established, based on many Torah sources, not my own, 2 weeks ago we quoted from the Hirsch Siddur, Salvechak Siddur, that man's inclination is pure and uncorrupt. But in a world where good and evil intermingle, where good and evil battle for power, as we grow up, we have sometimes a nefilah, and that is when Ra erupts within us. One second. Rabbi Akiva said, you could go if you have to, I see the time, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva said, right at the end of Maseches Makos, Chaf Dalet, and they were crying and he was laughing. And his colleague said, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? They say the place where the Kohanim, Hazar lo yikarav yamus, Hazar yikarav yamus lo nivka. And we see the Kodesh HaKadashim in destruction, we shouldn't cry. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I'm laughing. If the prophecy of destruction came true, I know that the prophecy of redemption will come true. Od yeshum zekeinim zekeinim zekeinim. Trying to remember if he uses the word nar in the context of the prophecy. But I'm taking too much time. I don't remember the beginning of the pasuk. Because someone help me. Od yeshu zekein was kernos brechovas ha'ir v'ish mishanto biyado me'odef me'oref yamim brechovas ha'ir yamalu yiladim v'yilados misachakim brechovas seha. But there's another pasuk before. I don't think it uses, I think it uses yaled and yalda and elders. Zekeinim was kenos. That's interesting. Because b'mos ha'mashiach, maybe this idea of nar will be no longer. Where the battle of evil and good, Hashem will slay the Yetzer Hara. And we'll all go back to the pristine state where it will be zekeinim and zekeinos and yeladim v'yelados, and there will be no nefila that leads to a state of ra. Halavai should be this Pesach in Yerushalayim HaBenuya. I wish everyone a chag kasher v'sameach, a wonderful and uplifting Yom Tov. Be'ezrat Hashem, barring Mashiach's arrival, we resume Shir the Wednesday after Chag, and we continue to daven that the neshama of Miriam Frond should have an aliyah in the schus of the Torah we share. Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, I wish you a wonderful Shabbos HaGadol and an uplifting Yom Tov. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov and Laila Tov. Besoros Tovos.